warmest 70 degrees I think I've ever experienced. My goodness, that's a fake out. All that humidity out there, all the moisture in the air makes it feel much, much warmer. But, we're okay. It's still summer and we're loving it. Good afternoon, everybody. Stan Turner with you here. Thank you so much for your company. Love to have you on board here. You know, on this Saturday show, we strive to not only entertain you, but hopefully inform you, too. We have just a whole load of wonderful guests here who come down to the station and share their knowledge with you, and we have good fun along the way. Fun is good, Tom Shubidoo. How are you today? We like fun, don't we?
Oh, absolutely, mm-hmm. If we're taking a note from Mike Vec. And we are.
That's right. Mike Vec, the major owner of the St. Paul Saints baseball team, carried here on Club 1220 KLBB, the club's mantra, its motto, fun is good. Hard to argue with that.
Very appropriate.
Righto. Well, folks, okay. You know, it's interesting. Stillwater today, with what with the state fair on, and with a cloudy day and a muggy day, you thought most people would probably hang out inside or in some air-conditioned place or be at the fair. Boy, the town is really crawling with folks today. It's a bonanza out there. That's good for the merchants, good for the town, and people just love it. Of course, the shops are air-conditioned, but there are a lot of people out there on the sidewalks, too. So it's a good day, inside or outside, whatever you like to do, it's the day to do it. We're at 12:07, 70 degrees right now, so let's get to our show here. You know, as I like to say, some people have a life that's an open book. Mary Ann Grossman is one of those people. There has to be an open book in front of her nearly 24/7, I swear to goodness. Mary Ann Grossman, of course, you know, is the veteran and highly respected book critic, book editor, book reviewer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. And we're proud to say that she's a regular on the show because we know that you love to get, shall we say, a knowledgeable read on what's new at the local bookshop. The stories, the authors, the publishers, the trends, all the rest of it. When it comes to knowing what's really going on between the covers, no one is better than Mary Ann Grossman. Mary Ann, you can take that last comment any way you want.
I think I won't take it at all, Stan.
All right. Welcome back, m'lady. Nice to see you
again.
Well,
thank you. Think of me as a big chrysanthemum that pops up every fall for you.
I like that. And you come around and you bloom in the spring, too. When you come down here, too. Your last visit was in the spring, and you tell us what's going on in the book department. Yeah, and by the way, maybe an idea for a book. We're always looking for good book ideas. How about a book about trying to get from the Twin Cities to downtown Stillwater during road construction season?
You could do a
first person on
that. The dreaded 694. It took me onto the dreaded 694 and abandoned me.
It did. Abandoned by a road.
I had to stop in Maplewood, where a very kind garage owner said, I'll tell you how to get there.
How sweet. I wish we had his name. We should tell him. Some days I think I have to go through Duluth to get here.
When I grow up, I'm going to get GPS.
Right. Do you use that, Tombo, GPS?
Oh, I need it. My direction sense is just atrocious. It is terrible.
Anyway, Mary Ann, you made it to the station today. Thank you so much. There is lots to talk about in the book world, but let's start with a recent, well, you wrote about this. Hillary Clinton, former First Lady, former Secretary of State, had a book event in St. She was in town.
I mean, it was a lovely event. I have to say, Common Good Books did a terrific job with the Secret Service and everything. So I don't usually cover this kind of stuff. I haven't done it for years because it's journalism 101. People say, it's exciting to cover celebrities. Well, no, it's hard work, which is fine. I kind of backed into this. So it was kind of exciting to see because I hadn't done it for so long, and the people were happy. The line went all the way down from Common Good Books to Summit, and then three blocks over Summit. And as usual, the press was kind of herded into a little area. And we even had our Secret Service minder, which was the first time. But we got to be right across the aisle from her, and she was charming.
Were you all well-behaved members
we
of the press?
All, oh, we were all. This is so, like we'll be gone stand. We,
so
you know,
proud of
we
you.
Were all standing there.
Okay, so you got so, really close to Hillary Clinton.
Yes, across the aisle.
You didn't swoon, did you?
I did not. But I remembered from my back in my reporting days two things. First of all, even with miniaturization, TV cameramen really have big cameras.
They do.
And if you have to be small enough to kind of wiggle in and out of their tripods. Mm-hmm. And second, Secret Service agents are hot.
tell us about your favorite one or two or three.
Well, our minder was from New York.
Yeah.
And
how do you know this?
Yeah, we were talking to him because we were pretty jammed in there in this little area. And what was there? There was nothing really to do while she was, you know, we had done our reporting. And so I said, I was interested because I was right next to the last person they saw before she signed. And they were asking this woman how they should greet her. Mm. And I thought that was very interesting, these polite Minnesotans. Mm-hmm. And the answer was Madam Secretary.
Madam Secretary.
So I said to the Secret Service guy, everybody's smiling. Is that unusual? He said, yeah, you don't see that in New York.
He would know, wouldn't he?
Being
from there. I'm just curious, before we move off this, people lined up to... Is it more to see her, to be near her? And this could be George Bush, it could be any so-called celebrity, than to buy the book. Are they you know, they're going to buy...
The book.
They bought the book. Are they really going to read it?
I think it was... Was it John Stewart or one of the late-night guys said, nobody cares about your book.
He did say that.
Right,
And he's right.
But
in many cases.
But they bought the book, which was the,
the
way you
that
got
the,
in.
That
they
was the price
to.
Of admission.
Yeah. And she was charming. So of course, and the interesting
thing... If I were
thing,
making that kind of money, I'd be charming, too. Right. Just, you know, right. That's easy money.
And the interesting thing was that bookstore people were noticing how many people, when they left, exchanged telephone numbers. Because they got to know each other. They stood there for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the Secret Service guy's number?
I did not. He went back to New York. Doggone it.
Darn it. Another missed opportunity, Marianne. Wells, okay, there's our Hillary Clinton story. Everybody had a nice, happy ending.
It
okay.
was a happy
All
ending.
All right. Okay, very good. Well, you've got a whole ton of books you brought along today. We can venture, we'll venture into the fiction field, the nonfiction poetry, the whole thing. There's so much good stuff here, folks. We're lucky to have this lady, Marianne Grossman, with us because she can navigate through this unbelievable landscape of books here. So many rolling off the presses, it seems,
rolling
every week.
And I'm a little early this year, too, Stan. Usually I come a week or two later.
Yes.
So some of these books I have not read, but I either know the author or know the publisher, so I feel very confident in recommending them to people.
And we are confident in you, Marianne Grossman. You want, okay, why don't we go ahead? Go
All
ahead
right. And, well, one of the most fun books, and I think the most interesting, is Uncaged.
So we're talking fiction here now.
Fiction, okay. And young adult fiction.
Okay.
And this was written by my former colleagues, John Camp, who writes as John Sanford,
mm-hmm.
and his now wife, Michelle Cook, both mm-hmm. of whom were my colleagues. I didn't know them. I knew John slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And so John, of course, writes the bestsellers, the Lucas Davenport mm-hmm. and Virgil Flowers.
The Prey
books, right. And so I was kind of surprised that he and Michelle went into YA, which is, of course, the hottest thing going now. And so this is a story about a street girl who comes out of foster care, and she's looking for her brother, who is an animal rights activist, and he's running from the law because he broke into a lab where they're doing hideous experiments, because they're trying to get to singularity in which human and computer are connected.
Singularity.
There's
a concept
and this
I
is a big, big bad worldwide web of these hideous scientists who are doing these experiments.
Wow.
And Shay is the street girl. And one of the things her kind of loopy foster parents taught her was rappelling up and down climbing, basically. So in this scene, I'll read just briefly, they're doing an action in which they're unfurling a great big banner over a building. She pushed the red handkerchief a bit farther up her nose, checked the tension on her rope, and stepped onto the parapet. She stretched, back arched and hands over her head, and almost laughed with the pure over-the-top rush. She turned, took a breath, and started down the side of the building, her toes bouncing off the reflective glass. The sound of the choppers was furious, but she didn't have time to look.
The sound of the choppers.
It was a TV thing. The guy who was running it wanted the choppers to be there because they were unfurling this big banner.
Not like the Black Hawk helicopters
over
the neighborhoods here. This
and one of the most. And Michelle has been a screenwriter, and they have a scene in which Shay is climbing the L on the Hollywood sign. That is just breathtaking.
Really? What's the genre? What type of novel?
This is young adult.
Yeah, young adults.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So,
and I was interviewing John and Michelle, and John was talking about how they met. His wife had died, and it was very painful for him. So they got together again. They knew each other at the paper, but they were just colleagues. They got together again. They were married in October. They had a house in Santa Fe. And so he said, he was telling me about when they first met, and he said something like, and we were sort of flirting with each other, and I thought, I didn't think I would ever write John Camp and flirting in the same sentence.
Wow, but he manages somehow to do that. So.
They're in love. So, I'm so happy for them.
Love is good. So is fun.
Right.
You know, maybe they're one and the same. I think so.
Word.
I think so.
And John's coming back. There, his new Virgil Flowers book, in which he kills off a reporter. When he told me that, he said it with a lot of glee. John.
Well, John, getting a little warped, aren't you, as you go along? Maybe marriage will mellow him a little bit. I don't know.
He's a pussycat.
Okay, yeah. Fiction. Let's continue in the fiction genre. I love that
word.
Okay. What else do you have here that we should know
we
about?
We have Dear Committee Members by Julie Schumacher. She's a University of Minnesota creative writing professor, and my interview with her is going to be in the paper August 31st.
Okay.
And this is a hilarious, they call it an academic satire, but really you don't have to know anything about universities to know how funny this is.
This is called Dear Committee Members by Julie Schumacher.
Right. Okay. And it's made up of letters and correspondence by this disillusioned professor of creative writing who he keeps getting off on a tangent no matter who he's writing to. And in this letter, he's writing to the new chairman of his department, who, God forbid, is a sociologist. And he's talking about how the chairman should perhaps not have any more committee meetings about the department plan because it doesn't go very well.
Okay.
Fair warning, he writes. As a body, we've tried in a plenary horror session to revise the momentous founding document on which our department depends. We argued for weeks about the existence and then the location of a particular semicolon. Two senior members of the faculty, true, one of them retired and left for rehab that same semester, abandoned the penultimate meeting in tears. If you'd like to see it, I've been keeping a log of department readings ranked according to the level of trauma, with a 1 indicating mild contentiousness and 3 signifying uncontrolled shouting, and a 5 leading to at least 1 nervous breakdown.
This is a jaded college professor.
Well, you know,
he's asked to write letters of recommendation,
right,
isn't he?
Yes.
And he's just sick
it
of
is,
it.
Yes,
and
it
then
is,
he tells the truth.
He tells the truth. And he gets off on, he had his lover's mad at him, and he writes to his ex-wife, she's mad at him because he's burned all the bridges. But this is a very small book, but as it goes along, he starts to become more sympathetic, and you start to realize there are some issues being raised in this book.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, he's living in this terrible situation where they're remodeling the building, but the economics department, the pampered boys and girls, have moved out. And so he's talking about how budgets are being cut, how students, now they have climbing walls and yoga for students. And so it starts to be sort of an interesting look at higher education.
These are academics in their own little sandbox, in their own little playground, huh?
Yes, but, you know, it could be almost any corporation these days.
Sure, yes, so, yes,
there's
yes,
a lot
good.
Of, yeah.
Well, that sounds like a fun read.
It is
really
a fun
good.
Read.
I love people who get jaded, and especially those who tell the truth. You know, we've all been asked to write letters of recommendation, haven't we?
You're right.
Break out the flowery prose.
Right.
This person couldn't be better.
Right.
A fine, upstanding lady, blah, blah, blah.
One of the most hysterical.
He would tell the truth.
Well, one of the most hysterical parts of the book is some of the letters to whom he writes. Clearly, these are his failed students. To a fish fry place and an RV park and a paintball store.
Well,
I think I remember, isn't it technically illegal to write a recommendation that is bad? Like, people have been sued for writing, no, this person is a bad employee.
Right.
He will not be good for you.
I don't know if that applies to academics.
That's a point that might be hair splitting there. I'm not quite sure. That's an interesting point.
That's why I love this idea of a jaded professor just saying,
absolutely, yeah. Marianne, your stack of books grows ever higher here. What else do we have here?
Well, I think one of the biggest books of the fall is going to be Best to Laugh by Lorna Landvik.
Oh,
and
had her on the show
loves
before.
Lorna.
Stand-up comedian,
right?
Lorna.
And this book is about her experience. This is the first book that's really based on her life. We're really, it's not a memoir, it's fiction.
She's from here.
She's from here.
And she did stand-up comedy in where? L.A.?
In L.A., okay. And when she was younger. And so this is about a woman who is not her because she's part Korean. But this is a little bit of it. And the woman, the protagonist, is waiting to go on stage at the Comedy Store, the famous Comedy Store in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Like a kid standing in front of a deep-sea aquarium, I was wide-eyed and enthralled. And with the exception of the expensive test tube drinks, I've loved everything about the Comedy Store. I loved Name, a place where laughter was both merchandise and currency. I loved the convivial darkness we all sat in, softened only by candles, the glowing tips of cigarettes and a spotlight. I loved watching how each comic approached the stage. One poor guy looked like he was one burp away from vomiting. Another strode up like an evangelist, arms held high. I loved listening to their five-minute routines. The bad ones were as instructive as the good ones, and I even loved the heckling, how the audience cringed when a comic didn't know how to handle it, and how it applauded when he did. And I interviewed Lorna, because she's going to be my column for September 7, and she said these were her feelings. But mostly she loved it. She loves improv, and she does that show every New Year's at the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Oh, yes.
Party at the Rec.
I'm going to get her on this show. We've got to get her down here. I've had her on before.
She emceed the Minnesota Book Awards, and in all the years I've been there, she was by far the best MC. Yeah. She brought whistles and blowers. And she was wonderful.
Apps and horns.
Yes, apps and horns.
All right, listen, Marianne Grossman, our guest here, books critic, books editor, books everything good from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. We're going to take a quick break here, come back with Marianne. She is loaded for reading, loaded for books. We're going to clue you in here on what's out there for the fall reading season. Stay with us. Be right back. The Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater proudly announces that author Glenn Ickler will be in the store on Saturday, September 6th at 1 o'clock to sign his latest book. It's called A Killing Fair. It's a murder mystery with the Minnesota State Fair as the background. Join in for a discussion and book signing by Glenn Ickler. Valley Bookseller carries all Glenn Ickler's books. Call 651-430-3385. Valley Bookseller. Great books, great people. 217 Main Street North in Stillwater.
The 1920s were a golden age for baseball and custom-tailored clothing. That golden age is back at Jaime's Haberdashery in St. Paul. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Make each visit uniquely yours with hats, suits, casual wear, and accessories. Visit their barbershop for a hot lather shave. It's the golden age again at Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at jaimes.com.
Trust and estate plans aren't only for the wealthy. This is Cameron Kelly from Cameron Kelly Law. A good estate plan will ensure that your family is taken care of and your financial goals are met, even if you're not there to make those important decisions. Taking an inventory of your goals and assets is a good place to start. Call me for a free telephone consultation and to get the process started.
Cameron Kelly Law. For your business, for your property, for you. Call 651-705-6277. That's 651-705-6277. Cameron Kelly Law.
The Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater proudly announces on Saturday, September 13th at 1 o'clock, author Jill Bisker, author of Finding the Way Back, will be in the store for a book signing. Her story is of a recently divorced woman who agrees to help her mother fix up her late grandfather's house. Come in and meet Jill. Get your book signed or dedicated to someone special. Valley Bookseller. Great books, great people. 217 Main Street North in Stillwater.
Here we go. We're back again with Marianne Grossman, the lady who knows everything there is worth knowing about books. Of course, she is the grand dame of book critics and reviewers, been with the St. Paul newspapers, the Dispatch, Pioneer Press. How many years, my lady?
53, but through the last three part-time.
53, and you've been the books person for how many years?
Oh, maybe 25.
Is that all? You're basically a novice. You are the one. You're the go-to person for books. Thank you for being with us, for being our friend, being book lovers' friends.
I love it here.
The authors love you, the publishing houses love you.
Better sit in your seat someday, Stan.
Oh, my God, really? No. Well, here, why don't we just move over and let you go right now.
Because I can never find Stillwater again until they fix 35.
You might as well just take a house down here until construction's over. That's what I think I'll do. Well, Marianne, something called the Minnesota State Fair is underway right now, and there are some book-related attractions.
There is.
Tell us about that.
A quiet little place in Baldwin Park.
Oh, there is a quiet corner of the fair.
It is a quiet corner. Uh-huh. The Alphabet Forest. And it was started on a shoestring with nothing but an idea by Deborah Fraser, who wrote On the Day You Were Born, which is one of the most beloved children's books.
What's it called again? I stepped on you.
The Alphabet Forest.
The Alphabet Forest. Mm-hmm. Okay, on the fairgrounds.
On the fairgrounds at Baldwin Park. Actually, it's at Wright Avenue between Underwood and Cosgrove Streets. Okay. The kids, they can do such fun things. They play with words. There's a word kitchen where there are pots and pans that have words, and you can cook the words. Cook. You can put
I've
words.
I've heard of cooking the books. But
yeah, cooking words.
Cooking the words.
You can put books or words on the bottom of rubber duckies and float them in pails. And there's
Tom, you've done that. I've seen you do that.
Well, I didn't know there was a park that let me do that. I just do that normally.
So you hit your rubber ducky, didn't you?
I'm sorry, Mary. I just had to throw in a talk.
Oh, no, I not. So their signature is a game, and you can download it. It's a game in which you go through the fairgrounds and you find two words with the letter of each letter of the alphabet. Mm-hmm. And if you fill your card, you bring it back to the forest and you get a blue ribbon.
Hey, love it.
And nobody thought this was going to last a year. Mm-hmm. And now it's so successful, the state fair has taken it over. And there was a log cabin that was donated. They're buying the log cabin.
Wow.
So it's all grown up, and now Deborah's leaving this year. She was a volunteer, so she has to go back to work and write children's books.
Oh.
And there are 16 authors. You can go online. People, the children especially love meeting authors, including David LaRochelle. I think he may be here there today.
Okay.
Anyway, they can go online to the State Fair website and find out what these are. Major top award-winning Minnesota authors.
One more time, it's called what?
The Alphabet Forest.
The Alphabet Forest, mm-hmm. on the State
Quiet
Fair.
Quiet little place. Somebody said this is like an oasis.
It's like an oxymoron, mm-hmm. quiet mm-hmm. at the State
They're
Fair.
Not selling anything. There's no franticness. Kids can draw.
I love it.
The letters dance. There's trees, and the letters are strung across the trees, and they dance.
No midway for me this year. I'm going straight to the Alphabet Forest.
Oh, okay. We have to promote literacy.
Got to. Marianne, back to the books now. We have some more fiction to read.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
A lot of crime, mysteries. Tell us about
Minneapolis-based Nodden Press, Norton Stillman, does a lot of anthologies. Mm-hmm. And this Festival of Crime is by members of Twin Cities Sisters in Crime, which are in their crime and mystery writers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, I believe, 19 of them. And they're set at all kinds of festivals, from the State Fair to the Aquatennial.
Crimes at these joyful, joyous events.
Yes,
it's hard to believe that could
German
happen
festival.
Fair State and the German Festival.
Yes. And I will read just...
Evil doings at the Winter Carnival, hard to believe.
And this is a festival in which they're releasing a raptor, and this woman loves a red-tailed hawk that they're releasing, and this is, and she's watching this couple. It all he began to inch forward, all of his bluster gone now. This guy is pulling this woman. Hmm. His lips were pressed together in concentration. As soon as he'd gotten on the other side of the rock wall, he relaxed. "Well, what are you waiting for?" he said, rolling his wrist at a gesture to keep moving. It all happened so fast. A blood-curdling shriek came from the trees, and we all looked up as a blur of wings and rusty tail feathers passed overhead. Leatherjack, a coward, took a step and staggered. Momentum drove him forward. Suddenly, he was kicking up gravel and grabbing air as he plunged over the edge.
Oh, you're going to a festival, but this is a festival of crime. Bad things happening at festivals around the state, as you write here, including Cinco de Mayo, dog sled races, St. Paul Winter Carnival, Corn on the Cob days, and other bad things happening at Corn on the Cob. I thought that was sacred.
And these are good writers. Yeah. These are good writers.
Give us the title again, please. That sounds like
Festival of Crime, Nodden Press, Nodin.
Okay, Festival of Crime right there. Okay.
And as long as we're on short stories, I think one of my favorite short story collections of the season is In Reach by Pamela Carter-Jorn. That's J-O-E-R-N. And they're all set in a small town, a plains town of Reach, Nebraska. And these are the most large-hearted, well-written, humane stories I have read in a long time. She also wrote, I'm sorry. I don't have. I'll find it.
That's all right.
She had, she had another book that we should know about, and I'm sorry I messed up, Stan.
That's okay.
I never mess up here.
You never mess up here. This is not a mess up, ladies and gentlemen. This is just a
I'll
mess
find
up.
It at the break.
You go ahead.
And I was happy to hear Glenn Ecker. This must be my old colleague show, because Glenn, of course, worked at the Pioneer Press, too.
Right. Did you hear the guy doing the commercial?
I did.
For Valley Bookseller? I know that guy.
In fact,
he's
I wrote...
Well, Chuck.
You know that guy.
Who knows that guy?
Oh.
Oh, you know Glenn you're talking about. Jeez,
Glenn.
We sound like Laurel and Hardy here.
Who's on first? Who's on second? Well, Valley Labyrinth Bookseller.
Right. And, right.
And you'll be associated with them. So.
And his books are funny. They're set in a St. Paul newspaper, and a couple of the general public wouldn't know this, but a couple of the names are people that we knew, including Sully Dorshow.
Oh, sure.
He only uses Sully, and one of our former bosses, who is now deceased, Don O'Grady.
Sure.
And anyway, it's a reporter and a photographer from the St. Paul paper.
Yep.
Easy reading, fun.
Sully was a photographer. I remember Sully. Right?
Sully was a photographer.
Yep, yep, yep. Okay, good. Well, good. Glenn Eckler, we'll keep an eye on that book, too. That'll be fun.
Okay.
What else have we here?
In fiction, Scoop, S-C-O-O-P, by Jeff Miller. Now, this is not a fall book.
This is nonfiction.
It is. It's a memoir.
It's a memoir.
But it's so charming, and there's so much of summer left. It's
thanks for saying that, Maria.
Yeah.
I like it.
I really
Everybody's
do appreciate
saying,
it.
Well, summer's over.
No,
it's not over. So we can do Scoop about ice cream.
Right.
A memoir.
Jeff and his partner were very successful businessmen, stockbrokers. They lived in London and Hong Kong, and they bought this little run-down ice cream shop in Hayward, Wisconsin, and a mansion that went with it and turned it into a B&B.
Wow.
And this is his first year living in a small town. He grew up in Chaska, I think, one of the small... So he was not unfamiliar with, you know, the Midwest, but he'd been gone a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sweet. There was an old guy named Buck who hung out at the ice cream shop, and after they signed the papers, Jeff said, "It seems to me we bought an old man, too."
He comes with us. Huh?
Right, but Buck was very helpful. So it's another book that's large-hearted and lovely, and for people who are going to Hayward to see the leaves or whatever,
sure.
It's a lovely book. Scoop,
S-C-O-O-P. Just like ice cream,
right.
Scoop.
Right, Jeff Miller.
There actually is an ice cream shop there.
There
what happens
is.
In the winter?
And a B&B.
Do they keep the B&B going?
They open for the Birkebeiner and for one other thing.
Fine,
yeah, but the B&B is still there. Unfortunately, he and his partner broke up, but he's happy there. He's a member of the community now.
Pardon me?
He's a member of the community.
Oh, okay.
Now, yeah.
And the publisher, I think, is either U of M or Minnesota Historical Society.
Right.
So it's
right.
a local. Local
it family. Is local.
Okay, great. Marianne Grossman, go ahead.
Okay, so this is Ordinary Sins. Jim Hannon is a short story writer who's best known for books about boys. The One Room Schoolhouse got a lot of attention, stories about boys.
Mm-hmm.
This new book, Ordinary Sins, I don't know, they never really say what it is. This is
fiction milkweed. Or nonfiction? There.
Yeah, well, it's...
I don't know.
It's fiction... I don't know if it's poetry. They call it short fiction, but it could just as easily be prose poetry.
Okay.
Ordinary Sins after Theophrastus, of whom I have never heard.
Wow.
Yes. Do you want to know who Theophrastus is?
I think
is?
We better.
The Greek philosopher who originated the character sketch as a literary form. Now, don't say we didn't learn. This is really a learning show, right?
He's popularly known
I
as Lenny.
Today.
Thank you for that erudition.
You're welcome.
I feel so much better informed now. Thank you.
And some of these are just 2 and 3 pages, and this one is only 1 page. I won't read the whole thing, but it's lovely. And the title is The Wondrous Quiet Life. She was 62 and widowed. Church people did not recognize her, but people at the animal shelter did. People at the shopping mall did not recognize her, but people at the library did. In this woman's life, there were more books than traffic lights, more cats than cell phones, more vegetables than credit cards. She seemed neither lonely nor gregarious. She seemed neither indifferent nor friendly. Still, some curious and good people wondered if she was all right. When they asked her, she said she had what she needed. She had neither questions nor answers for anyone. If she had strong opinions, she didn't offer them. If she had worries, she didn't share them. Those who came near her felt a peacefulness spreading around her. She was like a soft cloud passing overhead.
Wow. One of these rare birds these days, it seems, that didn't have a cell phone plugged into her ear 24-7.
Right.
She could be happy without that stuff.
And Jim's prose is lovely.
That's lovely. Yeah, that's good.
This is the kind of thing you would like to read before you go to bed. I hope Jim doesn't mind my saying that, but because it puts you to sleep.
put
you to sleep softly.
With good thoughts.
Right.
With good thoughts.
Right.
That's
right.
Very nice. If we could just interject here, a couple of nonfiction offerings here. Last Saturday on the show, we had a husband and wife team, Jill and Dean Johnson, with a wonderful book, which you've mentioned in your column a few weeks back, called Little Minnesota, a nostalgic look at Minnesota's smallest towns, these like population 100 or less. Places like our late and lamented friend Don Boxmeyer wrote about, Funkley, Minnesota, population 5. In far north central Minnesota. 5 souls there.
And we think here in the urban area these places don't exist anymore.
Oh,
and of course they do.
They do. They have great stories to tell. The people who have chosen to live there. Some people choose to go from the so-called big cities like here.
Right.
To retire there, to kind of find their soul again. It's a marvelous trip. It's beautifully done, beautifully researched, lots of maps to show you right away where the town is located. And so we highly recommend Little Minnesota by Jill and Dean.
And it's an affordable paperback.
It is.
So you can put it in the car.
You can.
Take it with you.
$16.95. This is Adventure Publications out of Cambridge,
right.
Minnesota.
Put it in your backpack.
Good idea. Same thing, Dean Johnson, the co-author of the one we just mentioned, has written The Best of Itasca, a guide to Minnesota's oldest state park, the headwaters of the Mississippi River.
You can step across the Mississippi.
You can. This is $15 from Adventure. I'm not getting a kickback from Adventure. These are excellent books, beautifully photographed. Dean is the photographer. I think he did the text, too, but you can see here.
Time to go up there.
Absolutely, that's the point. I'm glad you came on today because we've still got a lot of summer left to do things like that.
And just going back to that book, you got to love the story about the town that has the parade where the town marches around the parade.
Standstill parade. And the couple, Jill and Dean, sent me a card. I got it just yesterday where they have a photograph of the standstill parade. The people watching the parade, they move around and the float stands still and the marching is. You got to love stuff like that. Marianne, back to you. What do you have?
Before we leave nonfiction, a book that I really had not expected to be mesmerized by, I hope the author doesn't hear me, Harriet Beecher Stowe, A Spiritual Life by Nancy Koester, Koester. This is a wonderful, readable biography of the woman, of course, Uncle Tom's Cabin that changed our country. And it's about how she felt about the Calvinism and the, you know, the deep beliefs, the rigid beliefs of the New Englanders, and how her faith changed and whether she kept on believing in God and what happened after Uncle Tom's Cabin. We rarely hear about that. And this woman had children. She went to Europe. She was a woman before her time.
Wow. This is the title once again.
Harriet Beecher Stowe, A Spiritual Life by Nancy Koester.
Nancy Koester.
Mm-hmm.
In the nonfiction category, of course. And if I may, one more in that category, which I have begun to read. It's getting great reviews, critically acclaimed, called When Paris Went Dark. This is set in World War II. Ronald C. Rossbottom is the author. When Paris Went Dark, The City of Light Under German Occupation, 1940 to 1944. This book examines the relationship between the occupiers, the Germans, and the occupied, specifically how the vanquished Parisians either fought against or adapted to the conditions imposed by their Nazi rulers. Rossbottom draws from a wealth of sources, including diaries, letters, newspaper articles and archives, and on top of this we get interviews from those who lived through these dark days in the French capital. So I can't recommend this too much. When Paris Went Dark, the author's name, Rossbottom, Rossbottoms. It's in bookshops.
We need these books too, because the current generation, war to them means Iraq.
You're right about that.
And World War I is like the War of the Roses.
Sadly, war is the state, the condition of humankind.
Well, it's how Americans learn geography,
right.
Too.
That's true.
Which is
sad. You're right. It is sad. Marianne, before we plunge back into your list of goodies here, why don't we take one more break here? And we'll take a final commercial break to hear from our wonderful sponsors. Marianne Grossman, books critic, editor, everything good about books at the St. Paul Pioneer Press newspaper. We'll be right back.
a golden age for baseball and custom-tailored clothing. That golden age is back at Jaime's Haberdashery in St. Paul. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Make each visit uniquely yours with hats, suits, casual wear, and accessories. Visit their barber shop for a hot lather shave. It's the golden age again at Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at Jaime's.com.
99 Sonics are here on the ground. 99 Sonics are here.
Jenna.
You take one to town, drive it around.
Jenna.
98 Sonics are left on the ground. 98
Jenna.
What, Tom?
Why are you singing?
Well, I'll tell you, Tommy boy. Cue the music. The 2014 Sonic is here at Stillwater Motors. Now the 2014 Sonic is the only vehicle in its class that's built in America. And it's the only vehicle in its class to receive a 5-star overall safety score. Sonic also gets up to 40 miles per gallon. And if you want to see it, get down to Stillwater Motors.
Okay. This all sounds wonderful, but it's got to cost a fortune, right?
Wrong. It's only $13,190.
Get out of town.
I will, in my Chevy Sonic. Give them a call at 651-439-4333. Just off Highway 36 in Stillwater. Right on the corner and right on the price. Find them online at stillwatermotors.com. Now sing with me, Tommy. 99 Sonics are here on the ground. 99 Sonics are here.
Stillwater Motors.
Hear every touchdown, field goal, and tackle right here on AM 1220 KLBB. This is Wayne Larrabee, the radio voice of the Green Bay Packers. Your Packers station in the Twin Cities is AM 1220 KLBB.
We've got the Packers versus the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday, August 28th. Pre-game at 4, kickoff at 6. You're listening to the home of Green Bay Packers football on Club 1220 KLBB.
Stan Turner back with you here. My goodness, look at this time fly by. It always does when Marianne Grossman is with us here. The Books Lady, she's telling us all about what's happening between the covers of books coming off the presses all over the place. We have local, regional, national, international press, and she winnows out all the great titles for us so we know it's worthwhile out there. By the way, Marianne Grossman, a quick aside here. Did you know there's a floating library in Minneapolis?
I did because I read the competition.
Yeah. Lori Herzl, your counterpart over in Minneapolis, books editor at the Star Trib, little piece on a floating library on Cedar Lake in Minneapolis, a handmade wooden structure, 8 feet square, stocked with about 80 titles, primarily handmade artist books, not popular bestsellers. The library will be floating on Cedar Lake the last 3 weekends of August. So you got two, this one and the next one, between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. Don't drop the books, okay? Because they'll go to the bottom of Cedar Lake. Now, that's a novel touch, isn't it?
It is a novel touch.
You're swimming along. Gee, I feel like a good novel coming on.
There's a local book artist who is doing a book made out of fish food, and they're going to put it in the lake. Those book artists are weird.
Things are getting wacky. Marianne, back to you. What do we have here in the way of dry land books?
I forgot. We're just so enamored of each other. I forgot one of the top books, the top novels that I'm looking forward to, and I loved it. The High Divide by Lynn, L-I-N-E-N-G-E-R, Anger, and he's Life's older brother.
Oh, yes.
Life, Peace Like a River. Mm-hmm. And these brothers, a lot of people don't know, actually wrote little mysteries together. The protagonist was a Minnesota twin named Gunner.
This baseball
was before, before either of them were published. And this new book, Lynn's new book, is about this man who has a secret who goes off. This is set in 1886. He goes off to Montana to find an Indian. His wife follows him. His boys follow him. And they intersect with what was called the Hornady Bison Hunt, of which I've never heard. And what it was a Smithsonian Institute-sanctioned hunt because they were afraid the buffalo, this was after the buffalo was mostly gone, there were bone pickers out there making money. There were stacks of bones. Mm-hmm. And so they were afraid, the Smithsonian was afraid the buffalo was going to be extinct, and they wanted one specimen. And so these stories interact. He is just a beautiful writer. He writes about these boys who are, I think, 9 and 11, and the relationship with the parents, beautifully. And the interesting thing about this book is it sounds like it might be a Western, but it's sort of a gender-neutral book. Men will love it. Women will love it because the wife has her own story to tell, whether she really wants him back when he leaves and why, how she can forgive him for keeping secrets. It's wonderful. If you're looking at Christmas presents, and especially for guys, the high divide.
And what period, what era?
1886.
1886, okay.
And that buffalo hunt really happened.
It did?
Yes.
Okay,
the Hornady hunt.
Okay. Anger, that's the author.
Right.
Okay, E-N-G-E-R. All right, what else, Marianne Grossman? What
else
do you have in front of
you? Do you want to talk a little bit about deaths just quickly? Because
not a happy topic, but it's one that we should get to.
Obits I wrote. Marietta Thompson, T-H-O-M-S-O-N, who was founder of the Minnesota Festival of the Book, which led to the Minnesota Book Awards. That was the first, it was the first time. She had had Alzheimer's, and she hadn't been around for a while, but her friends all said, and objective people said, that the literary community would not be what it was if it wasn't for Mary Ida. George Ann Colan, my dear friend,
she was like my sister.
She was a fashion writer. She died in April.
She was on the St. Paul newspaper.
And she owned the Stillwater Farm Store just up the street.
Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a marvelous lady. She had a 25,000 watts.
She did.
She could light up the world.
And she was a wonderful writer. I remember she started one story about Miss America with the sentence, "They were all looking at boobs." And what it was about was it was set in the dressing room, and they were fitting her for her.
That was the opening line.
Attention getter.
When I taught journalism, I always told the students, your opening line, this is one of the most important.
That was a biggie.
You got to grab their attention, as it were. So she certainly did it.
It was a grabber. And Maya Angelou, and of course there was a lot of national news. And when I interviewed some people here about how they influenced her, it was amazing. Jonathan O'Dell, who grew up gay in Mississippi, talked about how he hears her voice in his head when he doesn't want to talk about being promiscuous and how he drank. And he hears her saying in his head, go ahead and write that and let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn Holbrook, who founded Sassy, is writing a memoir about being a poor African-American single parent and, you know, the heck she went through.
Mm-hmm.
She said she hears the same thing. Angela gave her courage. Ka Bang, who a Hmong writer who has won Minnesota Book Award, looked at herself in a new way as a woman of color when she heard Angela's poem, An Exceptional Woman. She said, I too can be an exceptional woman. And she started to write. So
inspiration with a capital
yes,
I.
Right.
How about that, Maya Angelou? Okay, well, Marianne, I don't know if you got more books in front of you here.
Well, what should go on calendars.
Let's do that,
some
right. There are some events you should know about.
All right, folks, have you got a paper and pencil?
Yep.
Here we go.
Here we go.
All right, the Children's Festival of Children's Books and Illustrators has a 15th annual celebration at noon on September 20th at the Anderson Center outside of Red Wing. If you love children's books, this is the place to be. Everybody in the writer's community is there that day. It's free. There's a lot of stuff going on. The kids love it. Lots of stuff for kids to do. October 11, the Twin Cities Book Festival, which is an absolute must. State Fairgrounds, free parking, free. Drew 6,000 people last year. And Laird Hunt's going to be there. He was published by Coffee House, although his new book is not by Coffee House. Oki Nabi, the Nigerian author of Foreign Gods. They have a new teen tent this year, which is going to be fun. There are booths. All the publishers are there. At the teen tent, there's going to be Andrea Kramer, who wrote the vampire books from McAllister College. She's in New York now.
Whoa.
Pete Houtman. Carrie Musrabian, if we have time to talk about her book. She has a new book out that's interesting. And then there is a middle grade tent, too.
Okay. Once again, where will this be? The name,
the book festival is at the State Fairgrounds.
State Fairgrounds.
It's free.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Right.
Okay.
And then the next day is Opus and Olives on the 12th at River Center, and that is rather pricey, but it's the Friends
October
of the St.
Now?
Paul Public Library. No, it's
no.
The next day.
Okay.
It's a fundraiser.
Okay. Okay.
And Jane Smiley's coming.
Okay, wow.
And you can find more information about that on Friends of the Public St. Paul Public Library website.
Okay. I kind of stepped on you here. I want to make sure we got the dates on the book festival and then the...
Okay, the Children's Book Festival is September 20th at the Anderson Center.
Thank you.
The free Rain Taxi Book Festival, Twin Cities Book Festival, is October 11th at the State Fairgrounds. And October 12th is Opus and Olives, the fundraiser.
Okay, we got it all set. Mm-hmm.
And there's a Berryman Conference, too, a John Berryman Conference, October 24th, 26th at the University of Minnesota.
My goodness, we have a mother load of good literary events coming our way. As you know, we're so proud to have Valley Bookseller as one of our sponsors here on the show, and the music request and dedication show weekdays, too. It's an independent bookshop. How are the indies doing these days, the independents?
Surprisingly, well, the ones who... stuck it out.
Yep.
We stuck out the big box and the recession and all the other threats are doing okay.
Yeah. The ladies who are involved with Kathleen Eddy and her crew over here at Valley, they're absolutely great book people. I mean,
they know their stuff.
They really do.
Same with Common Good and Subtext and Macabre's and
There's one up in Forest White Bear Lake. Too.
Right, Valley Bookseller. I'm sorry, Lake Country.
Lake Country. Mm-hmm. That's another good one too. Mm-hmm. So we're blessed to have those. You got another book in front of you.
I do.
Life is an Open Book for Marianne Grossman.
Well, and poetry people will love this. Okay. Jim Moore is probably one of the most beloved and senior members of the poetry community. He's the founder of The Loft. I remember him telling me once they opened The Loft. It was a little, it was upstairs of Marley Rusoff's bookstore in Dinkytown, mm-hmm. and the roof leaked. And so they had an open call for poets, and he said he didn't know if there were even 10 poets in the Twin Cities. Well, 50 showed up. So now Jim has his new book coming out. It's called Underground, New and Selected Poems. And a new and selected is a very great honor. First of all, you have to be around long enough to have a body of work. And second, it has to be a body of work worth republishing. So this is some excerpts from seven of his previous books and then some new poetry. And this one, I'll only read part of it, is called Trying to Leave St. Paul. Little streets of St. Paul that lead nowhere. One of them ends where quiet drunks sit in the old September grass on top of a hill. Streetcars used to run here through a tunnel cut into the hill. The sun rides so low in the scowl-filled western sky, it makes the empty bottles glow. How far away it is possible to go from St. Paul in a single night of raucous dreams. I wake up before dawn, joyful. Moon sliding in through broken slats of our broken bamboo curtain. And it goes on for a couple more.
That sounds like that could have
been. He is just a lovely writer. And some poets are critical when you say poetry is accessible, but I don't care. I keep using the word because people are afraid of poetry.
We all are.
Because you either get this navel-gazing stuff or it's incomprehensible and you go, why am I wasting time? I mean, these are word poets who just say, well, just listen to it for the words. Well, I'm sorry, I don't have time. Life's too short.
Right.
I want the creative person to tell me what he, she means.
And the part you just quoted to us does. I can swear that's the Selby Avenue streetcar tunnel.
And
going into
their bottles.
The hill.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. All right, you've got another.
This is the last one.
Okay.
I love this book. Sheila Packa, P-A-C-K-A, she's the former Duluth Poet Laureate. Night Train Red Dust, Poems of the Iron Range. And what it reminds me of is Tom McGrath, Letter to an Imaginary Friend. It's interesting, I just flipping through the other night, and there was Tom McGrath on Channel 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about the mines, working in the mines, living up in northern Minnesota. And I'll read just part of it. This is called Rumors, Wildcat Strike, Mintac, 1975. I heard in the blasting in the pit the low growl of the cat skinners and steam shovels filling 240-ton dump trucks carrying the rock to the crusher. I heard in the machine shops, in the concentrator, in the fines near the Benedite, behind the sliding doors, in the agglomerometer, in the constant roar of the rolling furnaces, turning the taconite pellets on the conveyors, moving along the small wheels amid the vibration of high voltage through vents and catwalks, the motors surging.
Oh, yeah. He takes you right in there.
She does. It's
right?
Wonderful. Amazing. A little Wildwood River Press.
Okay. Her name again, please?
Her name is Sheila Packa, P-A-C-K.
P-A-C-K. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much. Marianne, before the show today, we were talking about the pending demise of another big box bookstore.
Yes.
That would be Barnes & Noble in Highland Park. And normally, not too many tears have been shed by some books people over the,
right.
those big shops. But the truth is, everyone that goes now is a bricks and mortar shop that is not going to be replaced.
Well, it is.
It's a tragedy in its own way.
Yes, and I know Amazon has its great supporters, but you know, there are still people around who like to roam shelves, still like to hold a book in their hands. Still want to be in a bookstore.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so every time we lose one, that's another.
Every time we lose one, because you don't know what you can search the web, but you don't know what you don't know.
Well, that's true. Steve Anderson, a good book friend of ours, he made the point that, and he for many years had a bookshop over in Hudson, Wisconsin, St. Paul before that. Now he's working out of his home and interneting. But he said the joy of discovery, when you're going to look for a certain book in a bookshop, there might be another one on the other shelf that you didn't know about.
That's
or
right.
Hadn't thought about. You wouldn't find that on the net, probably.
Because you don't know what to look for.
Exactly. But when you're just, kind of, like you say, browsing the shelves, there are some unexpected delights.
Wonderful.
These
are our friends
they are waiting
to be loved.
How e-books versus real books, how's that going?
I don't know. E-books have leveled off. They're still doing well, but they've leveled off slightly.
Yeah. Do you read e-books online, Tom?
No, I don't. I was thinking about getting one of those when I was on.
Stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting an e-book when I was on the ship. I was going to be on a ship for 4 months, no access to anything extra. But
in the Navy.
Yep. But it... Oddly enough, looked to me like the prices weren't any different.
Well, that's what Hachette and Amazon are fighting about now. Mm-hmm. They both want a bigger part of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
So it could turn out, Tom's right, could turn out you're not gaining very much. Plus, it's really hard on your eyes.
I agree with that.
Even young people. I mean, if you have a job where you sit at a computer all day and then come home and look at a screen at night, that's hard.
Yeah, that's
well, it's just strange because it's a lot of other things, too, like music. I mean, the CDs that you purchase online, same price as if you bought the real thing. I thought that was supposed to get rid of the middleman and make it cheaper.
Right.
More accessible that way.
And in terms of having a lot of books in your house, that's what we want.
I love books.
We want our books around us.
I have no room for me anymore.
And actually, one of my other friends, he did get that e-book reader on the ship. Smashed it on the first week of like a 5 month trip.
Deliberately?
Lost everything.
Deliberately?
No. It just dropped.
It was gone.
Learn.
Couldn't read.
Wow.
It was stuck.
Wouldn't happen with a book, would it? Huh? Hits the floor, pick it up. Still good.
Marianne, dropped it over.
Marianne Grossman, just a couple minutes left. Any parting thoughts or words from you?
Well, it's going to be a good year. And you know, despite the fact that books keep getting more expensive and people are saying authors, nobody wants to hear authors, it is absolutely not true. We're going to have a fabulous year of visiting authors. People are coming out for them. Three independent bookstores are having midnight parties. Common Good, Majors and Quinn, and Moon Palace.
Wow, Moon
where
Palace.
People can get their books, really important novels, before publication. And people turned out to Common Good. So people care. This is a wonderful community to cover books.
Yeah. This is a hot area. The publishing houses, national ones,
know.
This is a hot market for book sales.
Right.
No doubt about it here.
Right.
So we can take pride in that.
Yep. Yeah. Grey Wolf, Milkweed, Coffee House, and all the little ones, Nodden Press.
Yeah.
Poetry. So much poetry.
Right. I was going to ask you, fiction versus nonfiction. I suppose fiction is still the biggest seller of those two categories.
It is. But you have to remember, you put in all the little cozies, all the little romance.
A cozy is a
sub-genre of mystery where it happens off stage, and it's usually an amateur sleuth. So, and then you add in romances. So it's kind of not quite fair because there's so many of those books.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that e-books are selling on e-books. Because some of these readers go through 3 and 4 books a day, a week.
They don't want to have these available for people to see that you've
books. We'll go into that someday because Laverl Spencer, who was a Minnesotan, changed that. But that's for another time.
Okay. Another
that's
time.
For fall,
that
Stan. You have to have
back
me back.
I want you back. How soon can you come back?
In spring, like a zucchini.
In the spring, okay. Just twice a year you pop up. Okay.
Well,
Marianne Grossman, you are a treasure. You really are. Thank you so much for coming down, fighting the traffic, getting lost on the freeways.
Thanks for having
me. You were abandoned by
interstates. I hope I can get home. I might have to sleep here.
Good luck with that. Yeah, Lowell Inn's a good place.
The cats need me.
All right. The cats need you. Marianne Grossman, books editor, books critic of the St. Paul Pioneer Press, cluing us in on what's happening on the bookshelves near you. Thank you so much. Folks, enjoy the weekend. Yep, get out to the fair. Have fun. Thank you so much. Tom and I will join you Monday right after the news at noon for the All Requests and Dedications program. Thank you so much. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.